This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. August Wilson, Edward Albee, Shakespeare, and Miles Davis are the short list of muses for at least one UNC student. Senior Communications Major Kwamel Stewart draws inspiration from the creative work of each of those men, and he's taken that inspiration and gone to work on an ambitious creative project of his own. Kwamel plans to spend the next few years completing a collection of 40 plays that incorporate music and musical technique while exploring important social themes. His first play in that cycle debuts tonight at Historic Playmakers Theater at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. It's called Kind of Blue, named for the 1959 masterpiece album by Miles Davis. The production gives Kwamel Stewart the distinction of being the first black undergraduate to have a full-length play performed on a UNC campus main stage. And I'm pleased to welcome playwright Kwamel Stewart as my guest today on the program. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Oh, thank you. This is incredible. I'm glad to be here.
Congratulations. Give us a short plot summary of Kind of Blue.
A short plot summary. Well, there's a cast of four characters in the play, and there's a character named George who is a 44-year-old man. He's a bartender, and he's been struggling mightily with the patriarchal role he's been seeking his entire life. And he's at a point where that struggle has become more pronounced. And when his wife, Ruby, who is also a nurse, tries to help him with that struggle and help him with his insecurities, it only makes matters worse. And things only intensify when their collegiate daughter, Nia, comes home from school. And she brings home a fiancé that they don't know about. And her fiancé, in Nia's undying opinion, whose name is Joseph, is failing to channel his own machismo, in her opinion. And so essentially in this household, you have four differing ideals of what masculinity is supposed to be, and they sort of create the conflict between the four characters.
Exploring masculinity through these four characters and through modal music, through jazz.
Yeah.
What's jazz got to do with it?
Well, essentially, I devised an artistic agenda for myself called the Companion Play Cycle. That's what I've titled it. And essentially what I'm doing is I'm writing eight groups of plays with five plays in each group. And each group is written as a companion piece to eight distinct forms of jazz, including Dixieland, swing, bebop, hard bop, fusion, free, and modal, and cool. And essentially what I'm doing is I'm taking the technicality of each music and I turn that into the dramatic structure for the play. And specifically regarding Kind of Blue, which is the first of the five modal plays, written as a companion piece of the style of modal jazz. Since modal jazz employed the use of scales, the play sort of employs the use of scales. And so essentially, if you put masculinity on the scale, these four characters find themselves on different parts of that scale. And their attitudes, their sensibilities, their behaviors, and the choices that they make throughout the play sort of indicate what part of that scale of masculinity that they're on. And the purpose, the thematic ambition of the play is to challenge all of that, all of their different positionings on the scale.
Now, what gave you the idea that for this particular challenge that you would structure your plays on the kinds of jazz that you mentioned?
Oh, well, after my sophomore year at UNC, I realized that I never wanted to worry about what my next play was going to be about ever. I thought that was a really frightening idea. And so I sat at home and I thought that I wanted to create an artistic agenda in which that entailed a dramatic palette whose composites were just as valuable as the sum of the parts. And so I needed to find some inspiration, and I cited three people who are August Wilson, William Shakespeare, and Edward Albee. And particularly with August Wilson, with his famed Pittsburgh cycle, with the decade by decade sort of illumination, dramatic illumination of the African-American experience throughout the 20th century. That was an inspiration for me because he was paying homage to a contextualized experience. That's something that I wanted to do as well. And then Shakespeare was another muse for me because he's the most reputable playwright who has plays that are categorically threaded via his first folio with the histories, the tragedies, and the comedies. And so whatever I was going to do, I wanted that to be categorically threaded as well. And then Edward Albee, just from listening to a lot of interviews and that he was a part of and listening, talking about his investment in societal critique, that's something that I wanted to do as well. And so I combined those three inspirations with my affinity and affection for jazz, and I devised the Companion Play Cycle. And it's essentially why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it.
Tell us more about your love of jazz. When did that start for you?
Oh, on my 18th birthday, my mentor gave me John Coltrane's The Love Supreme. And I remember I was in my dorm room And I just put it in. I had never listened to jazz before, but I was always attracted to music without words because for some reason there were certain memories that I would have that I could only summon sonically, and I needed to just hear the sound, and I would be transported into places that I couldn't be otherwise. And I put John Coltrane's The Love Supreme in there, and I must have listened to it about, I don't know, something like 25 times, man, and just acknowledgement alone. And from that point forward, I was like, I got to get more of this music. And so I had searched for a lot of the music and started listening to it on my own. And then when I got to UNC, I took a jazz history course. And up until that point, I had only been in love with the sound. I knew nothing about the history of jazz. And once I learned about the history of jazz and saw its connection to American history and how it continuously reinvented itself from the late 19th century all the way throughout, you know, the 20th century, I just felt it was incredible, and I wanted to pay homage to that. So,
there are a lot of challenges in the way you've decided to go about this.
Yes, they are.
And you've made for yourself a lot of rules.
Yeah.
When you went about writing this play, Kind of Blue,
yes, sir,
did you find yourself having to remember, you're a young playwright, you're not experienced at this, did you have to say, oops, I got that part right, yeah, we're doing, this is modal music, but, you know, we've lost the social thread or that sort of thing?
No, I don't think so. I think that I've been able to navigate through all of the challenges well. I certainly, whenever I write, I always keep in my mind what my intention is artistically. And I know that, particularly with Kind of Blue, when I sat down to write it, I knew that I wanted to explore masculinity provocatively. And I knew that the dramatic structure had to be modal. And so whenever I sat down to write, whether it was changing one line or changing an entire scene or revisiting the entire play, I knew that those things had to be accomplished.
Let me ask you right there, if the theme itself, masculinity and modal music and the change that it represented in jazz,
yeah,
very important change,
yes,
if those things were married in your mind thematically or if that just happened to be the rule. Look, I'm doing modal and I'm doing masculinity. I'm going to bang them together and make them work.
That's essentially how it worked. I said, this is going to be a modal play. And no one knows what that is because, you know, it's new. You know, I knew that I was going to have to write about masculinity with a certain level of modality. And so that had to come through the characters. They had to express different ideas, different sensibilities, and different attitudes towards manhood. And that essentially was what was going to make the play modal and give it the kind of modality that I was trying to accomplish.
And it's interesting. Tell us about Kind of Blue. This is an album that came out in 1959. And it's sort of become the quintessential sound of this music. And without getting too geeky, you know, if you're talking about modal music, you're talking about something that's based on scales. So it may sound a little dissonant to your ear. It's one of the things people who say they don't like jazz complain about. This is the thing they point to because more traditional music is based on chords and all of the tones are going to be more sympathetic. They're going to sound more melodic to you. Is there a relationship between the confrontation of patriarchal masculinity, this machismo that you talk about, which have been accepted for generations, millennia perhaps, and this sea change in the music?
Yeah, sure. I think that, you know, certainly within an effort to provocatively explore masculinity, you know, the character George, who goes through that struggle, there's a lot of challenges that he goes through that are very, very raw, and I expect a lot of visceral responses to them. I think that he endures a lot of things that a lot of people really would not want to talk about or maybe even see in front of them. And, you know, that's sort of the relationship, that level of discomfort. There are things that, you know, that men don't want to address in front of women that they don't want to address, period. But it's interesting to sort of see that the mirror relationship between the music and the play itself, because, you know, this is something that was discomforting for people in terms of, you know, melody. And I think that the play is going to issue a certain level of discomfort as well, because these issues are very, very transparent in the play. And I certainly hope that they're provocative enough that people feel a little bit uncomfortable, not because they're sort of repelled by what's happening on stage, but it's so incredibly honest that it resonates deeply, you know, and people are inside their head saying, wow, I have that problem, or I experienced that too, or I never thought, you know, I would see someone dramatize this on stage.
And people caught up in this are caught up in their particular times. A generation or two earlier, those questions would never arise. I'm the man of the house, you do what I say.
Yeah.
You're born in the late 50s and the 60s, and now we have to challenge something that we were raised with.
Yeah.
Becomes particularly uncomfortable for people of that age. So tell us now about music itself. We've talked a lot about jazz, but we're not going to really hear music in the play. Is that right?
Yeah, the play does not feature the music at all. I essentially just use the music to create the dramatic structure for the play, and that's basically where it begins and ends.
You set the play in the 40s, but this music really doesn't come of age until a decade later. Why?
Well, I wanted to set the play in the 40s because at the time when I began writing it, I was very uninterested in contemporary time. It's just something about it just didn't really compel me. And I've always been fascinated by the past. And I certainly think taking that jazz course led me to that sort of intrigue. I you know, a lot of my peers and my family members will tell you that I have an old soul. It's probably one of the reasons why I love jazz music, and I love music without words. And so I was very, very fascinated with the past. And I felt like as a playwright, it's much more fun to sort of experiment with something that's happened before, you know, because you get to, you know, there's so many different things that you can play with, and you can make references and allusions and things like that that are time period specific. So I just felt it was more interesting in the 40s.
Well, not to scare you and jar you out of the past, but you've got a future ahead of you that includes 39 plays. You ready for this?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I have a lot of passion and a lot of diligence, and I know that there will be some adversity along the way, but I feel like I'm prepared.
We're looking forward to it. Kwamel, remember, we knew you win. Thanks a lot. Thanks for being on the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Kwamel Stewart's play is Kind of Blue, premieres tonight at Playmakers Theater on the campus of UNC Chapel Hill. Runs through Monday, February 28th. Tickets are free. Seats are reserved, though, so you need to visit memorialhall.unc.edu for more information. Just ahead on the state of things, we're going to look at the controversy brewing over the fifth edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual on Mental Illness. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.